If you would, this morning, turn with me to Jeremiah chapter number 8. Jeremiah chapter number 8. Appreciate those songs this morning. Amen. I'm glad that God does walk the dark hills. Amen. I want to try to share with you this morning just the thought. I hope it'll be a help to you. And let me say that not every time that we stand behind the pulpit, we're excited about what we get to preach or what we're going to preach. Sometimes it's difficult. And you just pray for me this morning, all right? Jeremiah chapter number 8. If you would, look with me, verse number 1. I'm going to read down verse number 7 or 8, somewhere along in there. We'll stop. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 1, "At that time saith the Lord, they shall bring out the bones of the kings of Judah, the bones of his princes, and the bones of the priests, the bones of the prophets, and the bones of the inhabitants of Jerusalem out of their graves. They shall spread them before the sun and the moon and all the host of heaven, whom they have loved and whom they have served and after whom they have walked, whom they have sought, whom they have worshipped. They shall not be gathered nor be buried. They shall be for dung upon the face of the earth. Death shall be chosen rather than life by all the residue of them that remain of this evil family, which remain in all the places whither I have driven them, saith the Lord of hosts. Moreover, thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord, shall they fly and not arise? Shall he turn away and not return? Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by perpetual backsliding? They hold fast the seat. They refuse to return. I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Every one turned to his course as a horse, as the horse rushes into battle. Yea, the stork in heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people know not the judgment of the Lord. How do ye say we are wise, and the law of the Lord is with us? Lo, certainly in vain made he it. The pen of the scribes is in vain. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them? Therefore I will give their wives unto others, and their fields to them that shall inherit them. For every one from the least even to the greatest is given to covetousness. From the prophet even to the priest, every one dealeth falsely. For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore shall they fall among them that fall. The time of their visitation, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. I will surely consume them, saith the Lord. There shall be no grapes on the vine, nor figs on the fig tree, and the leaf shall fade, and the things that I have given them shall pass away from them. Why do we sit still? Assemble yourselves. Let us enter into the defense cities. Let us be silent there. For the Lord our God hath put us to silence and given us water of gall to drink, because we have sinned against the Lord. We looked for peace, but no good came. For a time of health, and behold, trouble. The snorting of his horses was heard from Dan. The whole land trembled at the sound of the neighing of his strong ones, for they were come and have devoured the land, and all that is in it, the city, and those that dwell therein. For behold, I will send serpents and cockatrices among you, which will not be charmed, and they shall bite you, saith the Lord. When I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is fain in me. hold the voice of the city of the daughter of my people because of them that dwell in a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with strange vanities? The harvest is past. The summer is ended. We are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? That is reading the entire chapter number 8 of the book of Jeremiah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege once again you've given us to be in your house this morning. When I pray to illuminate my mind, guard my lips, and help me to say only that, Lord, that's needful, necessary, Lord, in this place today. Father, we praise your holy name. Thank you for allowing us to worship together. I pray, God, you'd help us to glean from the Scriptures this morning. Help us, Lord, I pray, as we gather around the precious Word of God, speak to hearts this morning. Do only that you can do, Father. We'll praise you, and Lord, we'll thank you for what's accomplished. In Jesus' loving name we pray. Amen and amen. As we look at this passage of Scripture, I want to call your mind back to the children of Israel. We understand, as we've studied before, we know that the children of Israel had rebelled against God. God had told them many times and give them many opportunities to obey His voice and to do what He had commanded. And we find that here in the passage of Scripture in Jeremiah, that the word of the Lord came through Jeremiah, began to stand and teach and preach to the people and tell them that they need to obey the voice of the Lord and turn from their wicked ways and turn from what they was doing. And many times we study through the Scriptures, we find that God had sent a messenger after messenger to get them to repent of their sin, get them to turn from the wicked ways and the things that they were doing. As we study through, we find that even here in this passage of Scripture, we find even the priests and the prophets of that day had turned from what they'd known to be truth, and they began to follow after the things of the world. And they had, they had turned from what they'd known to be truth and begin to teach and preach lies and tell people they was peace, as the Bible says in verse 11, that they was peace, but yet there was no peace because the children of God had rebelled and sinned against God. We study the Scriptures, we find that there's a lot of things that we can learn from this and glean from this in this passages this morning. But I want to focus on one thing in verse number 6. If I can draw your attention back to that, I want you to see here Jeremiah is known as, if you study the Bible in it all, you know that Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. And he's known for that because of the tears that he shed over the people of Israel, over God's people. Many times he's wept and he's cried. And here we see is another point where Jeremiah was speaking for the Lord and said, "This is what thus saith the Lord. This is what God had said." And he's at that time saith the Lord in verse number 1, "Listen, it's going to heap it all together. You're not going to be buried in graves. Your bodies are going to be burned in the city. And God's going to send judgment because of sin." And Jeremiah understood the word of the Lord. He proclaimed the word of the Lord, and God was going to deal with sin. And we understand that Jeremiah would preach and he would weep and he would cry because they would not turn from what they knew to be wrong. They would not turn from their sin. They would not correct the ways of their living. They would not do what God had said and obey His voice. And Jeremiah would weep and cry over the city and over the lost souls and over the sinful condition of God's people. But notice with me, if you would, in verse number 6. I want to use this morning as my text verse, if I may. In verse number 6, "I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his course as a horse that rusheth into battle." And then verse 7, the Bible says, The stork in heaven knoweth her appointed time, the turtle, the crane, the swallow, observe the time of their coming, but my people know not the judgment of the Lord." Here we see in this two verses of Scripture that it's plain and simple that the birds of the air knew that there was a God. The birds of the air, what the Scripture is saying, is smarter than the people of God because they knew their time was coming. They knew they were smart. And God's people would not turn from the judgment that was showing the ignorance of God's people. And judgment was going to come. We can rejoice this morning in this thought. Let me give you this to start with before before I give you the other, but we can rejoice this morning in this thought, and I've preached this before, I've said this many times, that God deals with us now with our sin. A lot of times people say, well, God will deal with that sin on Judgment Day. I'll stand before God and I'll answer for my sin on Judgment Day as a born-again child of God. Praise the Lord. God will not deal with our sin on Judgment Day. He would judge us for the deeds we've done in these bodies as being born again children of God. So we will not stand before God on Judgment Day and God deal with us in our sins. What we see in this passage of Scripture is the most important truth in sin and dealing with sin is that God deals with us now concerning our sin. We see the children of Israel had rebelled and rebelled and rebelled, and God sent messenger after messenger after messenger, giving them opportunity after opportunity, and God still does that. Somebody say amen right there. God still gives opportunity. God still sends the messenger, and God still allows for His grace to be used, amen, and grace to abound where sin abounds. Amen. Study this passage of Scripture and we see that God's people had sinned against God and rebelled against God, and God's going to deal with that sin. And He sends them a warning, and He sends them many warnings. And this is one that Jeremiah had wept over, and he cried. He said, hey, listen, God's going to send judgment because of your sin. God deals with us now with our sin. It's not on Judgment Day. God deals with us now with our sin. Why do we face some of the trials and the troubles of life? It is because of sin. Sometimes. Amen. Good preaching right there. There's times when we face trials, we face troubles in life because God has sent a messenger to preach the Word of God, to tell us what thus saith the Word of God, and we have rejected that, we have not obeyed the Lord, and therefore God sends circumstances to help us see our sin so we'll repent and get right with God. That's plain in the Scriptures. We see that it's very simple. God was sent a message to the children of Israel. He's going to deal with their sin. He's going to send judgment. And God will send judgment on sin. Amen? Write that down. Mark that down. God will always judge sin. God will not tolerate sin. He doesn't tolerate sin. I know that there's people that say that they're saved and they love the Lord and they live a life of sin and wickedness. And I promise you this, if they're truly born again, God will not tolerate their sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, read that. Man in the church that was saved and was living in sin, living a life of sin and committing a fornication and the sin, the wickedness that he was in. And God sent him a messenger to confront him with his sin. He did not repent. He stayed in his sin and God took him because he would not allow him to bring reproach on the church. Listen, it's very important this morning we understand that God deals with us now in our sin. If we sin against God, we will suffer the consequences of sin. What is sin? James chapter 4 says, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. It doesn't have to be a sin that makes the newspaper. It doesn't have to be a sin that everybody knows. It's the little things that we know that's wrong and we decide just to do it anyway. That's sin. In Romans chapter number 1, you read there, you find there that the Romans had knew God and they knew what was right, but they rebelled and they did not listen and God dealt with their sin. They said in their heart, I know that it's wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway. But we have a world today around us of people that know what the Word of God says, they know that it's wrong, but they do it anyway. God will deal with sin. There's always a consequence for sin. Amen. God will judge sin. God will not allow His people to live in sin and bring reproach to the church and hurt the Word of God or the name of the Lord. Amen. We'll not tolerate it. We'll not allow that. God will take them out of the equation. Now you ask yourself this. Well, preacher, I know people that say they're saved, but yet they're living in sin, then there seems to be no consequences. My friend, let me say this to you. Their profession is fake. They do not know Jesus truly as their Savior. You cannot live in sin and rebel against God and live a life of wickedness and say that and truly know that you're saved by the grace of God. It doesn't work that way. Amen. Oh, preacher, you're being a judge. Well, that's all right. I can be. Bible tells me to judge righteous judgment. Amen. If they're living a life of sin and wickedness and say they're saved and there's no consequences for it, that doesn't line up with the Word of God. So therefore, they're lost in their sins and they need the truth. Amen. Somebody needs to preach to them. Amen. That's good stuff even if I am doing it. But look with me if you would in this passage. That's the good news, amen, that we can shout this morning that God deals with us with our sin. And I'm so glad that God deals with me now with my sin. Amen. He convicts me. That makes me want to shout. Well, why in the world, preacher, would you want to shout? Because God convicted you over your sin. Because when I sin and God convicts me, I know the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, is living on the inside of me. And it makes me want to do right. Therefore, I know without a shadow of a doubt that I am a child of God. Amen. When He convicts me of my sin, shows me my wrong. Hey, listen, that's shouting ground. Amen. Hey, I sinned against God and I didn't mean to do that. Or maybe I did mean to do that. But the Holy Ghost convicts me and I know without a shadow of a doubt that I'm saved and on my way to heaven. Amen. Boy, that's good stuff. Listen, whenever the Holy Ghost convicts us of our sin, the Bible teaches us if we confess that sin, forsake that sin, turn away from it, don't do it again, confess it, forsake it, God will have mercy on us. Those that don't are going to have to suffer the consequences. Verse number six, question was asked. What have I done? I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented of his wickedness, said, what have I done? All the messages that were preached, all the prophets, all the priests, and everybody that was there, nobody said, what have I done? Let me just run this little rabbit while I may. I'm having a good time, and I'm just going to enjoy preaching this morning. Amen. Sometimes we look at everybody else and what they're doing and we forget to say, what have I done? It's not about everybody else. Hey man, it's about us and our relationship with the Lord. Have I sinned against God? Oh, I can look at everybody else and see what they're doing is wrong. And I can tell what they're doing is wrong. I can point my finger at them. But how many times do I look in the mirror and point the finger at me and say, what have I done? Boy, that's good preaching if I am doing it. What have I done? What, Lord, have I sinned? Hey, David said, search me and try me and know my heart. Know my ways and know, Lord, is there any wicked way in me? God, help me to get that mess out of my life. Man, what a prayer to pray. God, search me, try me, know my heart. If there's any wickedness in there, Lord, reveal that to me and show it to me and let me see my wicked ways so I can repent and get away from those things. What have I done? Just a few things I wrote down. Seems like no one's asking that question today. It seems everybody's just accepting sin as it is. In this day that we're talking about in Jeremiah's day, Jeremiah was a weeping prophet because people had gotten to the place they was complacent, they was callous to sin, and it didn't affect them anymore. And they would preach and they would pray, but it had no effect because they were so callous to sin. We're getting into the place in our day where people are callous to sin. Homosexuals getting married in the church, amen. Listen, that's callousness to sin. Homosexuality is sin. Amen. That's on CD, that'll probably go worldwide. Homosexuality is sin. Amen. That is a sin, an abomination to the Lord. God never intended for a man to marry or have relations with a man or a woman to have relations or marry a woman. Never was intended that way. God created man, saw that man was alone, created a helpmeet named Eve, took the rib out of man's side, and made Eve to be a helpmeet or a fitting to help Adam so Adam wouldn't be alone. God instituted the first family. That's the way He put it together. That's the way God meant for it to be. But we're in a day and a time where so many has gotten callous to sin. Well, it's okay. We just have to overlook what they do. No, God said it's sin. And God's going to judge America because of their wickedness and their sin. What we have to do is say, God, what have I done? Lord, please show me what I've done and don't allow me to partake in other man's sin. Well, that's good preaching. Let me say this. What have I done? Number one, what have I done with God? What have I done with God? Is He not the author and the preserver of my life? Is He not the creator that created this life that I have? Have I been mindful of His goodness? Have I been thankful for His mercies? Have I been thinking about the grace of God and the goodness of God? Or have I just dismissed Him every day that I live? What have I done with God? What place have I given Him in my thoughts? What place have I given God in my thoughts? It's a shame that most people today they've come to church and they'll talk about the Lord and talk about God, but on Monday morning they put Him off and they'll say nothing else about it until next Sunday. Where's God in our thoughts? What have I done with God? Have I thanked Him for His grace? Have I thanked Him for His mercies? Have I praised His holy name? Have I given Him place in my life? Have I given Him enough praise? What have I done with God? Boy, what a question. Number two, let me give you this. What have I done with Christ? What have I done with Christ? He has been offered to me as the gift that God has. Have I accepted God's gift in Christ? Have I accepted Him or have I rejected Him? This is not about everybody else. This is, Lord, what have I done? Have I rejected Him? Have I accepted Him? And it's not about just knowing the name of Jesus. Have the devils themselves know the name of Jesus? And the Bible says that the demons tremble at His name. They know His name. It's not just knowing His name, but it's knowing Him on a personal level and accepting Him as your Savior and making Him Lord of your life. Have I crowned Him with thorns or have I given Him glory and honor? Hello, is everybody listening? What have I done with Christ? Is His blood sprinkled upon my heart? Or am I trampling His blood under my feet? What have I done with Christ? It's not about just knowing His name, but it's knowing Him on a personal level and having a relationship and fellowship with Him. What have I done? Number three, what have I done with the Holy Spirit? Have I grieved Him by my unbelief? Hello, that's good preaching, amen. What have I done with the Holy Spirit? Have I grieved Him by my unbelief? I know what the Bible says, but I'm going to do this my way. You're grieving the Holy Spirit because you just don't trust the Word of God. There's many people say that they trust the Word of God and they trust the Lord to lead them and to guide them. But whenever He begins to guide their steps, they grieve Him because they won't follow and they won't listen. Have I grieved Him by my unbelief? Have I turned a deaf ear and hardened my heart against the melting influences of His presence? There's many times in the service that the Holy Spirit will begin to move, and I appreciate the testimonies. Praise the Lord for those. Amen. When God begins to move on somebody's heart, Brother Mike begin to talk and testify a little bit. Praise the Lord for those that do that. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Amen. If He's speaking to your heart and the service tells you to stand up and testify, by all means, stand up and testify. Brag on the Lord. Don't brag on man. Brag on God. And testify. And listen, bring that into the service and don't grieve God. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Have I received the Holy Spirit in all His glory? What have I done with the Holy Spirit? What have I done with God? What have I done with Christ? And what have I done with the Holy Spirit? I got a few more. I'm not done yet. What have I done with my Bible? What have I done with my Bible?
Friend, can I say something to you this morning? Hey, it's okay. It's a wonderful thing to have the Word of God, to have a copy of the Bible. That's a wonderful thing. But having a copy of the Word of God doesn't do anything for our inner man if we don't pick it up and read it and study it and devour it and glean from it and grow from it. It doesn't help us one bit to own a Bible. Many people say, I've got a Bible. Had a man come to the church one year, here one Sunday, and he showed me his new Bible. Hey, I got a new Bible. I said, what does it say? He kind of grinned at me, walked on. He said, I said, is that a King James Version? I don't know what kind of Bible. It's a new Bible, though. You better know what kind of Bible you got.
Amen.
What have I done with my Bible? Have I been reading in this God's written message to my soul? Hey, listen, God wrote these words, the B-I-B-L-E, the basic instructions before leaving earth. Amen. God wrote these words to our soul and for us to feed upon and to read that and to soak it up. Amen. And He's written that for us, for our learning, for our instruction, for our reproof. Amen. As Timothy said, as Paul said there to Timothy, it's written for our reproof and for our instructions and for doctrine. Amen. That's what we have the Word of God for. What do I do with my Bible? It's amazing that people will bring their Bibles to church and they'll open it up for the reading of the text and then they'll close it and they won't open it again until the next service and they'll open it up and read the text, close it up and put it in their car and take it home and some puts it on the shelf, some never get it out of the car and they never touch it again. What have I done with my Bible? I can preach till I'm blue in the face and I can teach you till I'm blue in the face, but if you don't pick it up and read it for yourself, it's not going to do you a lot of good. Have I been using the Word of God as a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path? Y'all wonder why I picked those verses, don't you? Hey, there's a reason behind all that. Hey, listen, am I using the Word of God as a lamp to my path, amen, and a guide for my footsteps? Do I hide its words in my heart? Have I openly confessed its truth, or am I ashamed of the Word of God? What have I done with my Bible? We having a good time? Is everybody all right? No man repented and said, what have I done? Hey, listen, what have I done with my talents? Oh, preacher, I thought you was done. Oh, no, I'm just getting warmed up. What have I done with my talents? God gives us a mind, and some of us are smart. Some of us ain't quite as smart, like me. Some of us are real smart, but some of us ain't. Some of us can understand different things. And I understand electricity, and some people understand mechanical things better than I do electricity. Listen, we all have different talents, and God gives us different gifts and different things, and our minds are different. And listen, what do we do with those things that God gives us? With my mind and the mentality that God's given me, the intelligence that God's given me. Now, some people are just ignorant on principle. They just want to be ignorant. They don't want to learn anything. What are you doing with the mind that God gave you? The mind is a terrible thing to waste. Amen. God gives us a brain. He gives us He gives us a mind to think and to use, and we can use it for the glory of God. I have a brain. God gave me one, and I'm just going to do what I want to do. That's not what your brain's for. That's not what my brain's for. It's not to do what I want to do, but it's to bring glory and honor to God. Learn the Word of God and study the Word of God and have some talent that I can do something to help somebody else. What am I doing with my talents? What do I do with my mind? What am I doing with my money? Oh my, there he goes again getting on money. I'm not fussing and preaching on money. I'm just telling you. Ask yourself, what have I done with my money that God's gave me, that it belongs to Him to begin with? When it comes to money, had it not been for God giving us the strength to get up in the morning and giving us our minds that we have, giving us our intellect, amen, and giving us our intelligence, had it not been for God doing that, we wouldn't have that money to begin with. We try to keep it all for ourselves and not give Him any of it. What have I done with my money? What have I done with my time? Have I spent time in the Word of God and spent time with God? What have I done with my time? What have I done with my tongue? Whoops. What have I done with my tongue? Man, that's good preaching. What have I done with my tongue? Have I used it to edify and to lift each other up? Have I used my tongue to promote the church and to promote the things of God? Or have I used my tongue to destroy and to murder and to tear down what God's trying to build up? What have I done with my tongue? I don't have to dig into that very much right now, because I believe God's blessed this church and give us some good people. But I know churches, man, there's women and there's people that have flapped them tongues and they've caused so much havoc and just tear the church down. And listen, God's not in 100 miles of that. What have I done with my talents? What have I done with my time and my tongue? Have they been used for the glory of self or for the glory of God? Just a few more. I'm almost finished. What have I done with my opportunities? What have I done with my opportunities? Have I taken advantage of many God-given privileges to hear His Word, to speak His name, to reprove, to rebuke, to exhort? Have I squandered my opportunities? Boy, that's good preaching right there. Have I given away the opportunity to hear the Word of God? I realize this morning I'm not the greatest preacher. I know that. I'll never be, and I don't ever want to be called the greatest preacher. The lady down at the clothing castle, whenever I go in there, she calls me the greatest pastor in America. And I said, no, that's Joel Osteen. I don't qualify. Amen. Listen, I know this morning I'm not the greatest speaker and the greatest preacher, and I struggle a lot of times with words, and so did the men of the Bible, amen. But God uses those that are available and willing. But listen, whenever it comes to the Word of God, don't leave and lose that opportunity by staying at home and doing something else that entertains you, that helps your flesh, instead of being where the Word of God's being preached. What have I done with my opportunities? Word of God's going to be preached tonight. What will I do? I'll tell you where I'm going to be at. I'm going to be where they're preaching the Word of God. What about Thursday night? Brother Kim Harris will be here. I don't know Brother Kim. I don't think I'll go because I don't know him. You listen real close, and Brother Kim will preach to you the Word of God. I promise you. If he wasn't a man that preached the Word of God, he wouldn't stand in this pulpit. Amen and amen. What have I done with my opportunities? God has given me many privileges. To hear the Word of God, to speak the Word of God, to speak in His name, to listen, to exhort one another, to lift each other up. What have I done with those opportunities? Have I been more anxious to kill time rather than to redeem the time? Whoa, boy, that's deep stuff. What have I done with my neighbor? What have I done with my neighbor? Have I sought to take advantage of them rather than being a blessing to them? Have I sought to talk about them and run them down and hurt them instead of trying to be a blessing and a help to my neighbor? Hey, we're talking about God's people. Amen. We're supposed to be a blessing to those around us. Amen. What have I done with my neighbor? Have I loved them as myself, or have I treated them as some inferior creation? Sometimes our neighbors are hard to love. I admit that. The Bible says we're to love them and witness to them and to pray for them, even if they're our enemies. What have I done with my neighbor? Does your neighbor know you go to church? Has your neighbor been invited to your church? I think everybody around me knows that I'm a pastor. Everybody knows that I'm a pastor of Heritage Baptist Church. And if they don't know it, it's because they wasn't home when I went. What have I done? Listen, real close. I'm almost finished. What have I done with the inner cry of my own needs? What have I done with the inner cry of my own needs? Have I been conscious of the need of God's forgiveness? Have I realized that I have sinned against God and I need forgiveness? Have I realized in my own life and in my own self that I need deliverance from the power of sin? Yet have I sought to stifle that voice and to continue to live in that sin? What have I done with my sense of weakness? What have I done with my sense of powerlessness?
when it comes to winning souls and leading people to Christ, the Bible teaches us that we shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon us. And whenever we have that power, we have boldness and courage and we're able to witness to folks. A lot of times sin comes in and steals that power from us because we're so wrapped up in sin. We find ourselves weak and we find ourselves powerless because of sin. What have I done with my fruitlessness in living the Christian life? Fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace, happiness, goodness, temperance, meekness. A lot of times we don't see that in people. What about asking ourselves, do I have those fruits of the Spirit? Am I fruitless in living my Christian life? What have I done with my own needs? Rather than worrying about everybody else, what have I done for myself? Have I sought comfort instead of confession? Have I sought pity of my fellow believers instead of the power of the Holy Ghost and His conviction? What have I done? Are you among those, or we among those, that the Lord complains and says, they have not repented and said, what have I done? What have I done with my own need? What have I done with God? What have I done with Christ and the Holy Spirit? What have I done with my Bible? What have I done with my opportunities and my talents? What have I done? That's the question this morning. Jeremiah is preaching to the children of Israel, confronting them with their sin many times. And he'd weep and he'd cry because they would not ask the simple question and look at their own self and says, what have I done? No man, the Bible says, no man repented of his wickedness and said, what have I done? Hey, we're living in a day where people don't like to confess their sin. Amen. People don't like to admit that they've wronged someone else. They don't like to admit that they've disobeyed the Word of God. If God convicts us of our sin, the best thing we can do is confess that, turn from it, and ask God to help us never to do it again. Amen. What have I done? The message has been preached. The invitation is given. You need to come and pray. You come and pray. I want you to draw a circle around yourself this morning. And I want you to ask this question. A circle around yourself. God, deal with whatever's in that circle, which is yourself. God, what have I done? Humbly before the Lord this morning, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking around. What have I done? In the seriousness of this message and the urgency of the hour of the days we're living in, we need to confront this thing called self and say, God, what have I done? Some's already coming. Some's already coming. God, what have I done? Have I offended someone? If you've offended someone, the Holy Ghost will convict you of the one you've offended. God will confront you. God will show you that. Have you squandered away your opportunities? Have you used your Bible according as the Bible lays out for us to use it to grow and to learn thereby? Have we used our talents? Have we used our mind that God given us? Have we used those talents and those gifts that God gives us to use for His glory? Have we done that or have we squandered it away? God, what have I done? The invitation's given. Some's already come. You ask the Lord. If I've been more entertained and enticed by the world, then encouraged to live for God. If I've been entertaining my flesh more than my spirit, what have I done? God help me. God show me. Search me, try me, and know my thoughts. And see, Lord, if there be any wicked way in me,
God, if there is, would you forgive me of my sin? Is anyone here this morning that's never truly accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? It's not about knowing His name. It's not about knowing that Jesus is the Son of God. It's not knowing that Jesus lives in heaven. But it's about truly accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Repentance toward God of being a sinner and accepting Jesus Christ and the shed blood on Calvary. What have you done with Christ?